This is Radio Superior 1946, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1946. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful and frozen lakes, station KUWS. It's 6 o'clock, Tuesday, March 5th, 1946. Jack McKenna saying that if you show today's young folks a new dance step, they'll second the motion.
Found another pithy saying, did we?
The Jack train may derail once in a while, but not for long, brother. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray has the sports, and we'll bring in a fashion critic to look at the new spring styles.
That sounds unnecessarily dangerous, especially if he looks at us.
You could be right.
By the way, the news department has a surprise at the end of the show.
A surprise from the news department? Sounds thrilling. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the 7th Street Market with specials for Lent, including herring and smoked whitefish. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Churchill warns against Russia. The Nazi war crimes trial looks at the Austria betrayal. And atomic experts leak secrets. First, we have these comments made today by former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill in Fulton, Missouri.
Last time, I saw it all coming. And I cried aloud to my own fellow countrymen and to the world, but no one paid any attention. Up till the year 1933, or even 1935, Germany might have been saved from the awful fate which had overtaken her. And we might all have been spared the miseries Hitler let loose upon mankind. There never was a war in history easier to prevent by timely action than the one which had just desolated such great areas of the globe. It could have been prevented, in my belief, without the firing of a single shot. And Germany might be powerful, prosperous, and honored today. But no one would listen. And one by one, we were all sucked into the awful whirlpool. Michele, ladies and gentlemen, I put it to you, surely we must not let that happen again. From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. Warsaw, Berlin, Prague, Vienna, Budapest, Belgrade, Bucharest, and Sofia. All these famous cities and the populations around them lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere. What is needed is a settlement. And the longer this is delayed, the more difficult it will be, and the greater our dangers will become.
This is Fulton, Missouri. Ernest Vaccaro, your reporter. Winston Churchill called today for an Anglo-American military alliance with a blunt warning against Russia's desire for indefinite expansion of its power and doctrines. The former British Prime Minister declared at Westminster College that, quote, a shadow has fallen upon the scene so lately lighted by the Allied victory, unquote. Britain's wartime leader gravely declared that prevention of another great war can only be achieved by reaching now, in 1946, a good understanding of all points with Russia under the general authority of the United Nations, unquote. While he does not believe that the Soviet Union desires war, Churchill attributed to the Russians a desire for the fruits of war. Quoting again, from what I have seen of our Russian friends during the war, I am convinced that there is nothing that they admire so much as strength, and there is nothing for which they have less respect than military weakness, unquote. He cautioned against releasing the secret of the atomic bomb at this time. Introduced by President Truman, who accompanied him from Washington, Churchill says he is speaking only for himself, and that he had no official mission. Saying Turkey and Persia are profoundly alarmed by claims made upon them by Moscow that the Russians in Berlin are attempting to build up a quasi-communist party in Germany, Churchill says, quote, this is certainly not the liberated Europe we fought to build up. Russian communistic influence is at work in Italy and France. The outlook is also anxious in the Far East, especially in Manchuria, unquote. Except in the British Commonwealth and in the United States, the former prime minister says, quoting again, Communist parties or fifth columns constitute a growing challenge and peril to Christian civilizations. While saying he repulsed the idea that a new war is imminent or even inevitable, Churchill declared, quote, "Our fortunes are in our own hands. Because of this, I feel the duty is speak out now," unquote. In Fulton, Missouri, this is Ernest B. Vaccaro reporting. Calling Germany, come in Nuremberg.
This is the Palace of Justice in Nuremberg. Stan Turner reporting. German army plans for a surprise war against Austria and Nazi Fifth Column plots in 1938 were placed before the International Military Tribunal, trying 20 Nazi leaders on war crimes charges. Fat and not too happy Hermann Göring was described as the man who directed by telephone the Blitz invasion of Austria after Austrian Nazis paved the way by deposing Chancellor Kurt Schuschnigg. Göring became serious as Assistant U.S. Prosecutor Sidney Alderman read transcripts of telephone conversations between Göring and Austrian Nazis on the days before and the day of the unopposed invasion. The records were found in the ruins of the Berlin Air Ministry building by Associated Press correspondent Daniel Deleuze and given to the prosecution for evidence. Quoting now, "This highly interesting document allows us to live again in those grim days of Anschluss," Alderman declared. Many of the telephone conversations were with Arthur Seyss-Inquart, Austrian Nazi leader and one of Göring's fellow defendants. The prosecution says the records clearly disclosed Nazi plotting to absorb Austria into the Reich. In Nuremberg, this is Stan Turner.
Hello, this is Berlin, Max Jordan reporting. Deputy Chief of the U.S. Military Government in Germany, Lieutenant Governor Lucius Clay, announced today a sweeping new denazification law, placing in German hands more responsibility for purging the nation. It also indicates a commitment for Americans to remain in Germany at least 10 years. General Clay estimates that at least 1 million and perhaps 4 million of the 15 million Germans in the American zone will be subject to punishment under the law. It was drawn up by three German provincial ministers in the zone and provides for trial in German court. The law specifies varying degrees of guilt for all Germans who aided Hitler, ranging from major offenders to minor cases classified as followers. Major offenders are liable to as much as 10 years in a labor camp. Clay estimates that at least a year will be required to carry out the trials. While Germans themselves will do the prosecuting, General Clay emphasized that the proceedings will be checked closely to see that there is no leniency. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling the British Isles. Come in, London.
This is London calling. Webb Miller, your correspondent. A British Crown prosecutor announced in Bow Street Police Court today that 34-year-old scientist Alan Munn May, who did government atomic research in Canada, has admitted communicating official secrets to an unidentified person. May was arrested yesterday as he finished a lecture on atomic energy to a class in King's College at the University of London. He's charged with violation of the Official Secrets Act. May was not asked to plead guilty or not guilty, and the prosecutor said he did not wish to present any evidence at this time. May refused to disclose the identification or nationality of the person to whom he gave information. In London, this is Webb Miller, calling the States. I'm in Washington.
This is the nation's capital. Ray Tucker here. The most novel and important unit which the Army Air Force has sponsored since VJ Day is the so-called Guided Missiles Organization. It will undertake summer experiments on a New Mexico desert that should revolutionize air warfare. It ranks in the same Superman category with the atomic bomb, radar, and rocket planes. In demonstrations at the Roswell Airfield in New Mexico, the Air Force is training crews for the May through July atomic shows on Bikini Atoll. A plane took off, circled in the air for 30 minutes, and was landed successfully by radio control. The general understanding has been that the longest radius for such an operation is about 30 miles, a limitation which would reduce the value of this new design for battle. but experts maintain that if the War Department will give permission, they can now propel the ship across the country, in fact, across the ocean, by such means. In future wars, according to this theory, there will be no such thing as thousands of humanly operated planes in the bombing of enemy territory. It will be a robot affair entirely. In Washington, this is Ray Tucker.
This is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. The government began today an effort to avert a nationwide tie-up of telephone service. Conciliation Director Edgar Warren met in Washington with American Telephone and Telegraph Company and the Federation of Longline Workers, set to strike at 6 a.m. Thursday. Union leaders say that the strike would involve 250,000 workers. They say it would first tie up long-distance and local manual phone systems, then entangle dial systems, radio, teletype lines, and transocean service. Elsewhere, the United Auto Workers agreed provisionally last night to a General Motors demand for a secret ballot among 175,000 strikers on the question of ending the long and costly work stoppage, now in its 105th day. The union proposed that members vote whether to return to work on the basis of the company's terms, including an 18.5-cent hourly increase, or that issues still in dispute be submitted to arbitration. As of now, labor troubles have 842,000 American workers idle. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
Legislation to create the St. Lawrence Seaway got support from former President Herbert Hoover today. In a letter to Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Hatch of New Mexico, Mr. Hoover says it would help transportation of goods, create 2.2 million horsepower from hydroelectric dams, and give mutual prosperity to the United States and Canada. It was Mr. Hoover, as Commerce Secretary under the late President Calvin Coolidge, who urged the creation of the St. Lawrence Waterway Commission in 1924. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:10. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
7th Street Market is that commercial Lou was referring to. Cottage cheese, a pound, 19 cents. Oh boy, I'm going to get some of that. I love cottage cheese. Here's some lamb loin chops, a pound, 54 cents. Sounds good to me, folks. How about some fresh herring, a pound, for you Svenskis and your Norskis, too, and you Finns. 22 cents a pound for fresh herring. Sliced salmon, a pound. That's fresh salmon, folks. 47 cents a pound. Pickled herring. Oh, boy. 14 ounces for just 29 cents. And butter, a pound, all you want. 53 cents. Boy, that's a change. All you want. That's the 7th Street Market for you, ladies and gentlemen. Dial 7741 if you want to order some. And I thank you. Lou?
It might be a year and 3 months late, but Andy Borg has taken over his duties as Douglas County District Attorney. Mr. Borg was elected in November of 1944, but since he was on active duty in the Pacific, his predecessor, the man he defeated, Thomas Foley, remained in office. 9 Superior men and 2 rural Douglas County men have been taken in the February draft. Local draft board officials say the men were inducted into the armed forces last month. The man who served as president of Superior State Teachers College during the war is leaving. He's leaving to be president at the Whitewater State Teachers College. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
Dr. R.C. Williams may have been just pinch-hitting for Colonel Jim Dan Hill when he went into the Army in 1940, but he led STC through some hard, lean years, Lou. Dr. Williams came to Superior as a member of the Education Psychological Department in 1939. He became president on July 1, 1940, and served until November 1, 1945, when Colonel Hill returned from active duty. Recently, Dr. Williams also took charge of the Veterans Aid Program for Northern Wisconsin. His appointment as Whitewater president was announced today by the State Board of Normal School Regents, Lou.
And finally, good listeners, Superior and Upper Wisconsin said goodbye to Bishop William O'Connor yesterday. Father Bill, as he liked to be called, left to become the first bishop of the newly created Madison Diocese after serving the Superior Catholic Diocese since 1942. The farewell was at St. Joseph's Children's Home, where a dinner was held in his honor. Reverend William Kubelbeck of St. Anthony's and Margaret Church presented Bishop O'Connor with a gift. He leaves for Madison on Sunday, Jack.
Best of luck, Father Bill. We'll miss you. Remember when we took him to Murphy's Pub?
You gave the worst rendition of When Irish Eyes Are Smiling ever sung.
Fortunately, Father Bill is a forgiving man. Thanks, Lou. Let's check our forecast for this Tuesday evening, March the 5th, 1946. Partly cloudy skies tonight, sunny tomorrow, and a little chillier. The weather has been unseasonably warm, but tonight's low will be 15, and tomorrow's high, 35. It's music time. Here's Larry Clinton with vocals by B. Wayne, and I Double Dare You on the Martin and McKenna Show. Clinton and B. Wayne with I Double Dare You on KUWS. Hey, folks, Goldfine's Trading Post has just received a carload of choice North Dakota horses and 34 fancy milk cows. See them now at Goldfine's 700 Garfield Avenue in Duluth. And here's an important message from the wholesale liquor dealers of Superior. We congratulate actor Ray Milland in the Academy Award-winning movie, Lost Weekend. We heartily approve and endorse his portrayal and the moral of the film. Remember, it is not the use, but the abuse of alcohol about which all people should be concerned. For the lesson it conveys, we urge everyone to see The Lost Weekend. Now let's enjoy Freddie Martin and his orchestra with a Hot Sut song on The Martin and McKenna Show.
A town. down in Sweden by a stream so clear and cool. Some boys would sit and fish and dream when they should have been in school. They couldn't read or write a word, but happiness they found in a little song they heard. Here's how it would sound.
That's a Throlson on the river, and a Throl, a Throl of Sue. That's a Throlson on the river, and a Throl of Sue. That's a Throlson on the river, and a Throl, a Throl of Sue. That's a Throlson on the river, and a Throl of Sue.
Now the Rawlson is a Swedish town, the river is a stream, the Throla is the boy and girl, the Hutsuk is their dream.
That's a Throlson on the river, and a Throl, a Throl of Sue. That's a Throlson on the river, and a Throl of Sue.
Martin and the Hutsut song on station KUWS. So when's the surprise, Lou?
In a few minutes. Now I'd like to introduce fashion magazine editor Brad Butterworth. Good evening, sir.
And you two, sirs, are a statement in multiplicity. Lou, with your button-down collar and sweater, nicely tailored shirt and pants and shoes I could eat off of.
And me?
You, Jacko, give new meaning to casual. It's just, oh, well, what more can I say?
You mean sporty.
Sporty brings about visions of fitness, athleticism, muscular. That's not your look. But Lou, love that fedora.
Thanks.
You always were teacher's pet.
Well, Radioland, today's word is bulky. As in hulky, massive, unwieldy. As we approach the spring of 46, our first without that horrible war with horrible wartime styles, it's out with the hulkiness of the Hitler and Stalin bulk uniform look, and in with the sleek, trimline look. Now, this is especially true for you gals. I know you had to wear comfortable shoes for the past 4 years, what with that war effort and all, but that's over. Get those heels out. Nylons are coming back. Goodness gracious, I say. Let's enjoy the old discomfort look of elegance and grace. Articulate is in, people. Real men don't look like they're women dressed for a blizzard. The spring look is colorful and sleek, like Jack's ankles. My, my, very becoming, Jack, in spite of the variety of different colors of socks you are wearing.
I'm going to wear longer pants from now on.
Unpadded shoulders, slim and straight sleeves are in this spring. Jackets have that chic look. They look good buttoned up, unbuttoned, or thrown over your shoulder. It's good for daytime lunches or nighttime cocktails. And yellows are back. This excites me. It's so sunshiny. No more navy blue and black. No to black. Girls, the black exception is a vision of mine. A lovely black on yellow print dress with a side cascade of petals repeated at the shoulder. You'll look luscious.
I don't know about you, Lou, but I have nothing like he's talking about in my closet.
I don't think that yellow works on either of us.
Keep an open mind, boys. Tell you what, let's go shopping. I'll take you myself.
I think there's a breaking story going to happen.
It's bowling night or day, and if it isn't, I've got to practice. So I don't see when I could get away.
I know what the problem is. You feel uncomfortable around me. Well, don't. Fashion types like me are supposed to sound sophisticated like...
There's plain Brad.
Or fashion Brad. You pick.
Fashion Brad could probably get us better deals.
All right, then. It's a date.
Not a date.
We'll go right after you're off the air.
Rapid Ray is in next with the sporting news. Here's Ted Weems and his orchestra with singing by Bob Edwards. This is yours. This is Peg of My Heart on the Martin and McKenna Show. Ted Weems and Peg of My Heart on station KUWS. Now, Rapid Ray with the sports. Hi, Ray.
Uh-huh. So, going shopping for a new outfit, eh, Jake?
Well, Lou figures it's my best chance to get new clothes, seeing how I usually wait for Mom to get me my clothes.
Mom? That explains a whole lot about your wardrobe. Hey there, fans of the sporting world. Ex-heavyweight champ Jack Dempsey may become Lord of the Rings once again. Promoters are making the old Manasseh Mahler the president of the Boxing Promoters of America. His job will be to select the fight of the week and keep the promoters' noses clean while he's at it. No hanky-panky. One of the wildest seasons of Big Ten basketball wound up with Ohio State as champs and Indiana the runner-up. The Buckeyes won 10 of 12 conference contests to come out on top. The surprises were the returning servicemen throughout the season, spicing up the game this winter. Former Superior Cathedral coach Steve Bouchand is back after 3 years in the Army. He left his coaching duties in 43 for a date with Uncle Sam. Bouchand is going to hit the books first at Superior State before returning to coaching. And Ashland coach Roy Melvin's Pure Golders, winners of the regional basketball tournament 2 years running, will speak at the Ashland Rotary Luncheon tomorrow at the Knight Hotel. The Pure Golders return to action against Spooner in the sectional tournament for state. And here's something to watch. A Negro is one step away from making a big league ball club. After posing for pictures and answering a slew of questions from reporters at Daytona Beach training camp, former UCLA baseball and football star Jackie Robinson is working out with Montreal, the AAA club for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Robinson and Negro pitcher John Wright made their debut today at workouts in Florida. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves A good sport. Jake?
Thanks, old buddy. Lou has a treat up next for us, folks. But it's a secret. Let's hear this big hit from the new Disney movie, Song of the South, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
It happened on one of them zippity-doo-dah days.
Out of it, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Yes, sir. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day.
Oh, plenty of sunshine in the way.
Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Wonderful feeling, feeling this way. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It is the truth. It's actual. Huh? Why is that bluebird? Mm-hmm. Everything is satisfactory. Zippity-doo-dah. Wonderful feeling. Wonderful day.
From the new Disney movie, Song of the South, on station KUWS. So what's the surprise, Lou? New fashions from Brad?
No. Who's your favorite orator?
Porky Pig.
I mean real people.
Well, that's easy. Churchill.
Never. There's so many, oh, so much to so few.
This is a collection of the former Prime Minister's inspiring speeches put together by the BBC and recorded by the Mutual Broadcasting System.
I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be free, and the life of the world may move forward into broad, sunlit uplands. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science. Let us, therefore, brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour. Goes out to the British airmen who, undaunted by odds, unwearied in their constant challenge and mortal danger, are turning the tide of the World War by their prowess and by their devotion. Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. Here is the answer which I will give to President Roosevelt. Put your confidence in us. Give us your faith and your blessing. And under Providence, all will be well. We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. When I warned them that Britain would fight on alone, whatever they did, their generals told their prime minister and his divided cabinet, in 3 weeks, England will have her neck wrung like a chicken. Some chicken. Some neck.
He's certainly something else.
Time to go shopping.
Okie dokie, Brad, but I hate trying things on. I'll just buy stuff, put it in a bag, and go.
No. Bad boys stuff clothing in bags. Good boys try things on and use hangers.
I always get poked when I try to use hangers. We're out of time, folks. Stay tuned for the Lone Ranger, Ellery Queen, and Mr. District Attorney. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is. And Brad doesn't make me try everything on. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night. Say, Ray, why don't you come along?
I've got to wash my hair tonight.
Raymond, you need to come along. Grown men need more than golf shirts to wear. I mean, what if someone dies?
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1946, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Scorage, John Munson, John Munsell, Ray Paulson, Pat Kelly, Brian Matusak. All events reported on Radio Superior 1946 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.